City Council agenda for this afternoon. And so I will call the meeting to order and we will start with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Mr. Crawford, would you call the roll, please?
Certainly, we have Garth Baldwin here, Eric Davidson here, Karina Higgins
here,
Mike Hill
here,
Ryan Lopez
here,
Mayor Lucert
here,
and Richard. Yeah.
Okay. First item is audience participation. And so if we have anybody that would like to speak from home, because there's nobody in the audience, you are welcome to speak for 3 minutes on any topic you wish to discuss. As I say, you will have 3 minutes, and would you please give your name and address? Just got this figured out. Nobody wants to speak. Okay. Thing is that there's no audience participation. We will move on then. Before we get to the executive session, which is obviously the core of this meeting, I just want to bring up one thing on old business, and that's the celebrations at the Peace Arch, which is happening September 13th on Tuesday. It starts roughly 12:15 with lunch provided by Microsoft, and at about, well, it's not going to be crudities. And then it's followed by the actual ceremonies will get underway shortly around 1 o'clock. The fantastic news that I got this morning from the superintendent of schools, Chris Granger, thank you so much. He got the high school to cooperate, and the band, 40 members of the band will be there. I presume they're going to be playing the national anthem, which is appropriate. And 43 students at least who are very, very interested in civic affairs will be there as well. And seeing as this whole thing 101 years ago was started by a movement by students in both Washington State and the province of British Columbia to build an arch to signify the fact that this is a peaceful border. I think it's wonderful that our schools will be represented. So I just put that out. So for the, that's okay. So for the next part of the meeting, we will have an executive session and to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 40.
Motion.
Okay, we need a motion to amend the agenda. Could I have someone? Well, there's a seconder from Ryan.
And so for clarity on the motion, the motion is to amend the agenda to allow for the presentation to occur before closed session.
There was a seconder? Yeah. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? Pass 7-0 to allow the amended agenda to proceed.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to introduce this, and we're going to ask other clerks to step up as well as other departments to talk about things specific to their areas. So we have worked really hard to try to fill the commitment that was made a year ago to get the sewer system upgraded. And as you you may recall, was an MOA from last year that said we're up and running and we're up and dumping at this point in 2022. And that just did not happen. So when I came on board in July 1st, or June 1st of July, and I learned about that, for me, the pressure on public works is let's get what we can now. And so that led us to a lot of conversations and council presentations around what we were going to be able to accomplish.
Called it sidebar conversation. Well, if you start on our technology, sorry to No, this is the
public. Great. So what we're going to do is walk through a presentation, and one thing leads to the next. Ultimately, there's a recommendation from the staff and me in particular that we amend the schedule that we've been talking about this fall based upon looking at the sound legal advice as well as practical on the ground reasons for the project that we're going to be talking about. So with that said, I will turn it over to the next slide. Let's see. Me? Good question. I understand.
Now, I just wanted to make sure that since we are going to keep that session and it's announced along with the digital one, I want to make sure we use any of our audience members.
Right. Yeah, would you look at the piece of presentation?
Sure, that is a controller for the behind the laptop. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not your assignment for today.
So as you can see on that slide, we had lots of conversations amongst all of the departments. It's not a single department conversation. It's really around several conversations amongst all of us for the past probably 2 weeks. Our recommendation to you is going to be to allow the full project that we're describing to you to be constructed in the springtime to be completed in August, September of next year. That's different than the recommendations in the driving pressing for, which I have been pushing hard on, which is to start the project in November. At least the portion of the project, which is the area where we had a surcharge last winter, we called the school, elementary school, parking lot, and the location of the purpose of the push, of course, is to get that under control. So it's really around how to deal with the potential winter surcharge. And frankly, it's been driven, in my mind, not about the competencies or the capacities of staff. It's really around the news and the reading about the LP. We're expecting another large winter, and rainy, wet winter. And that's been the biggest problem that we've suffered relative to that particular type of weather. Recall, there are several areas of the county that have suffered from flooding back in November. Soon as some of the switch weather areas conditions, as well as some of the areas of the city, for example, looking at that. So for me, it really came down to the practical perspective of what we could do or not do. And my recommendation is to go to the next spring construction season. All right, so I'm going to turn it over to Robert Lewis.
Excellent. Thank you to be here before you all. Matt Mayer. So basically, this is kind of an overview of where the G Street School project began, which began in the 05 general sewer plan. So in that plan, it's identified locations in the sewer system with no infiltration and inflow problems. Plan also identifies the potential surcharge points, which are noted up there, and which are the areas that we observe in November.
Explain the surcharge.
So basically, that's when the pipe gets, gets packed, basically, and it's looking for an outlet. And when it does that, it finds the point of picking out the pipe to get the structure. So basically, it gets discharged onto the surface.
Creates backflow.
Exactly.
Okay. Both sewer and storm.
Surcharge.
Yes. Exponential. Surcharge. So backflow.
Yes.
Creates a situation. The low point in the line is right at the primary school and pops it through that manhole.
Exactly. Exactly.
What is the word like discharge?
No, surcharge, because it's a velocity thing where it backflows because of
right. I'm just saying. I'm saying as a word, it's a word like discharge, but it's a surcharge.
Gotcha. Right.
Yep.
Financial.
That's a.
Yes. Exactly.
So the two areas that are noted on the slide are areas that showed up in the Book 5 sewer plan, and those were the areas that were observed. So the surcharging was also noticed in 2020 and in February and 2021 in the November storm. The other trigger for this project was the existing sewer collection system, which is at subgrade, especially in the bottleneck section. And this was under video inspection, was also revealed the large bellies were identified in that section of the sewer line.
Large bellies?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, belly where, okay. Yeah, there wasn't getting
this low, and
there is a bit of sagging line.
Which allows for sedimentation. Yep.
They're not all of them
I would have to get to the date, but they've got some years on for sure. They're a little older lines. So basically, a project was proposed to address these issues. And then while the city was going to be opening the streets to improve the INI, basically, we're getting stormwater. Lines in various areas and that's been identified. And that's why we've identified these lines for replacement. We did this in a manner that will also improve the passing for future development, as identified in the 2009 East Planning Construction Plan. Therefore, instead of replacing with in-time height, you know, size for size, we size it properly to take care of that 2009 plan. And this will, you know, this basically it's what kind of improve the INI and increase capacity. So the G Street Super Improvement Project scope originally included 6,660 feet of sewer mains in the project. Alignment is aligned in blue. This work includes sewer main replacement as well as installation of new sewer main, which is marked in purple. Purple is the new pipe. The existing sewer, So the replacement lines are in red. The new sewer lines are indicated in purple. And in this scoping, there was an additional segment that was going to be added. It's in green. And it's the segment that leads up to this point. And that kind of ties everything together. That was an additional 930. You see, for some of the new sewer lines kind of running down G Street, at current, much of that main is in the alleyways of either side of G Street. Now, those are going to be left in place for local collection, and then the trunk running down the heart of G Street, that's going to that will help with the stormwater treatment, but it will increase the capacity as well. And that will
your bottleneck capacity right there.
So there is bottlenecking, and a lot of the old sewer systems, they didn't set back in the day. They didn't segregate stormwater and. Sewer, so there's a lot of that. And this project's going to identify a lot of those issues. And we know this because we can simply look at our flows in our treatment plant. You know, like in the summertime, steady eddy, very stable flow, predictable flow. rain event, you can see those waves come. So we know these areas are have infiltration. That's going to be a huge help, not only for the sewer and the capacity of this portion of the sewer system, but to help the plant as well.
The additional replacement line, is that considered part of Lincoln Park?
So yes, that is the Lincoln Park area that one where it comes down. There's a right of way kind of behind Burger King that goes up the hill. That's what we're talking
but
about.
But it doesn't do the park proper.
No. It's west of there.
Okay.
Just before
the park is on the on the east side. Okay.
14th Street. Up to there, I think there's a little pump station in the north end. Isn't there a city pump station?
So we have a water well up there.
Yeah.
So basically the project report and where we stand right now. So with the current team here at Public Works, we had the project handover in June. We had the 90% plans in June. We progressed them along to 95% in July. And then also in July is when we gave the option to split into phases. And then we presented that to council in August and also submitted for permitting in August as well. And that's kind of where we set today. So basically, we progressed it. With the new team in place, we progressed it to the place where now we're basically ready to go. We can start the bidding, the permitting, and all of this. And in Stacy will speak of permitting, and that's where we gave forth the recommendation to do this in one segment in one project. That would be the safest for the city and get us using best management practices. This is the way to do that. So,
how long is your ad for the process to figure out
the bid process?
The actual public bidding will be open for 2 weeks.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. It's a pleasure to get to speak to you. So, the city manager, Mullen Works, requested that CDS, along with legal counsel, consider some alternatives to this prescriptive approach that we're recommending, that the city manager is recommending this evening, specifically, as Mayor Group said, in the form of the phasing that was submitted to CDS for permanent. And specifically, this impacts CEPA. The council will recall that the CEPA, or State Environmental Policy Act, it's the process that identifies and analyzes environmental impacts with governmental decisions, and that includes construction of capital facilities, which is it's the state's tool that's implemented locally that helps decision makers, applicants, and most importantly, the public understand that the entire proposal will affect the environment and one of the permits required to authorize this project. So CEPA requires agencies to address the cumulative impacts of a project, but it does provide some flexibility in the form of either phasing a CEPA or sometimes being able to do an outright exemption in the case of an emergency. That flexibility is allowed when a proposal meets certain thresholds. And ultimately, the city's analysis is that the appeal risk and the risk of not being able to meet these particular thresholds which are shown here on the screen, the city manager decided was too high, and hence why you have the recommendation that you're looking at. this evening to do the project descriptively and in that community. So you'll see in this, so the first of the 12 alternatives that discussed here discussed was the phase review. And where we really determined that that threshold couldn't be met or it was very risky as far as a procedural appeal to be met with you, it would merely invite a larger system to accept a fragment or a discussion of cumulative impact. There's going to be a little more discussion about that. The second option that we looked at was an emergency exception. And we say this was an emergency to start work this year. And there's a couple of thresholds that the state or the Department of Ecology requires you to meet. And the two I've listed here, the ones you zeroed in on, the imminent threat to public health, or they cannot be the result of a poor planning by the homeowners. And frankly, we were uncomfortable of risk of procedural appeal of meeting both of these thresholds and issuing an emergency exception. So now you have the city manager's recommended path of following that critical implement path prescriptively as a best management practice to do a threshold determination, likely it will be a mitigated determination not significant to secure the land disturbance permit, including the critical areas review, there'll be archaeological monitoring involved. And then, of course, the public works right of way excavation and construction permits. Mm-hmm. So, with this prescriptive path, we can take that best practice.
Any questions? Will we be able to be discussing this very early in the executive session here? And nothing else?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we have a list of recommendations. Let me just play them all, drop them all out. So again, we did push hard. I did push hard to have this done. I know that was an interest. Michael and Bernie have been working through this. That was the plan that the council had reported to you. So working through with that mindset, I was really glad that. And then after learning particularly about the CEPA requirements that needed to take a step back. So we revised that calendar. So the first thing to complete the CEPA by October, November 2022. And that will withstand any type of criticism or comment period that comes along with those kinds of processes. We do a bid in February, December 2022, award it. Construction starts April 2023, project completion September 2023. And then this emergency backup procedures mitigate surcharge in the 2022 winter. So just as a comment behind this, Rodney, David Edmonds, these are really our experts in the design side. So there's a real technical question who can help us with, and certainly that who can help as well. But one of the things we talked about, which is important to you, I think, is how do you mitigate surcharge? You have a big storm event. Which we, I think, there's going to be potentially. And it sounds like off the cuff solution, but certainly we think we need to do a much higher level job of communicating with the public about the waste system itself. As part of that problem is we can't control stormwater, but we can control wastewater in terms of educating people about when to use their washer machines. So there's a big snow event, don't wash your clothes. That's going to prevent part of that surcharge and building up over time. So we're going to need to go through a process, not unlike what we do in the summer for irrigation, remind people of the irrigation cycle, conserve water, protect the environment. The same kind of thing will happen this winter. We'll start a series of public announcements, articles in newspapers, press releases will be written, and then we're going to just remind people constantly on the Facebook page, as well as any other opportunity, just to be wise about water use. From a conservation perspective, we run the washing machines, dishwashers, bathrooms, just be thinking about it. Obviously, we can't affect everyone's behavior, but if it's enough, it could stop that surcharge. For us, maybe I don't have any children in school, but a lot of people do, and that must come to the parking lot, and it's rolling through the big mud puddle, and it's going to be potentially years, 6 years past, that's going to be waste water, right? That's the source of it. We want to do everything we can to mitigate that problem. So we'll do a lot of work around that this fall and winter. And then next winter, of course, the problem will actually take place. The problems will be resolved. This winter, there used to be some work about customer service, moving things money, utility bills, every place you can communicate this to the public to do that. Hopefully that will help out.
So you talk about just asking nicely, and you figure the number of people that just won't actually comply just by being asked nicely will be enough to make the difference, that we don't have to actually make it a rule or in some way enforce this curse?
You know, I've got great faith in people.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that when we know there's a real problem, that they're part of the solution for it, they're willing to be cognizant of that, including going to the schools and talking to kids. You know, the kids that influence parent behavior in a big way. So I think we're going to do our best. We'll see how that works out. But I think people pull together in the agency. That's what this really is. It wasn't the kind of emergency that we needed to see that section for. The reasons that Casey mentioned, but certainly what that to bring people's attention to.
What's our liability? You know, I mean, so we made commitments to people and builders and developers. Done. Okay, you can build this, you can do this, give me a certain time, and this keeps getting pushed down.
We'll talk about that in the session.
Is there a way to list the surcharge during the construction phase? Is that what we're focusing on a more public education campaign now as opposed to last year?
Well, I can't speak to last year so much, but it's not so much around the construction phase, it's just around the fact that we've got a very old system that a lot of homes, either intentionally or unintentionally, have hooked up their wastewater or their stormwater, the roof gutter drains, the driveway drains, all kinds of water infiltrates the waste treatment system. And so as we're collecting all that water, and those pipes are filling up, there's just not capacity downstream, which is the waste treatment plant, to handle all that water. So it starts to collect, it starts to back up, and then the rains get deeper and harder, more severe, then it just flows to the least resistant spot. You know, water flow backwards uphill, but that's the least pressure, because it's all hydraulic.
We had some pretty severe rains last November. Is there any reason to think that given the current condition of our system and what we know of it, that we're looking at a worse situation this year than what we faced last year?
I think it probably could be the same.
We got to 3 feet that get better grades at the basin. I'm assuming we're going to get more aggressive this year.
So I think the Public Works Department typically goes and cleans and jets all the pipes. And we do the background, all the storm drains and fall, and fall practice and activity. I know they've already been working on those pipes with the belly, jetting those out and cleaning those out for more purposes. So, working on what's all along.
I mean, that's something to do with the people. They may get everything, they may get all the manhole numbers and get all the drain numbers out. But like my street, education and all the contact aid, look at your drain and it's very comfortable to figure out. That's what I'm talking about.
You need a couple spots. Like me. The Public Works have a pretty good idea. It's kind of hilarious. Like Greg Martin, talked about public education, protective operations, we just talked about that, the search for planning options. And we did talk about bringing in big containers to move surcharge materials into our big container. That itself is problematic, that 1,500, 200,000 gallons of fuel sitting in a parking lot, that's just another management problem to deal with. Or worse, it fails itself. So we're going to try to do a preventative approach as much as we can. Slow the water flow.
Wouldn't the collected water just be put into whatever the water reclamation facility does? Would it just go into that process?
In terms of collecting and then dumping?
After the flow is down the main system, those tanks are backed, those
back into the
system. Oh, so you're just back in between.
Control, yeah. And then it goes back, that's just past the system.
Yeah, so they, not to get too deep into the chemistry, but I'm not a chemist, but I'm moving up with the systems. But that waste strip was a highly sophisticated operation. If you haven't taken a tour there, we'd love for you to come down. I mean, it's really an impressive operation to walk through and learn about. So the chemistry in the system is designed by a certain type of material flowing into it. Primarily household waste, that's the largest amount of waste. But when water is introduced, surface water is introduced to that chemistry of the waste stream completely throws it out, which really throws all of the ultimate discharge of the sellish seed off the chemistry, right? So that's what our state biologists pay a lot of attention to, those contaminants that are inappropriately being discharged. So they're watching it all the time. So our, unfortunately, that's really high quality operators in that plant. But we're spending a lot of money we need to treating water that's coming off the roofs rather than the bathrooms. Okay, is there any more on this? So, what's this?
This slide demonstrates the current projects that the secured entitlements in would be eligible to request new connections into the system. So additional building that we can anticipate will happen now and when the improvements are completed in August of 2020. And so we have Harborville, previously known as Sample Ridge, phase two, that's approved for 182 single family groups, multi-family units. They are doing construction out there right now. So we'll look at the speed at which they're ready to create lots of requests, new connections. Based on the last couple years of permitting activity, for the last 10 years, not the same this year, we've done the average of anywhere from 45 to 60 new residential units per year. That number has gone up quite a bit this year, a little up to the 90s at this point. It's early September, and so we'll see what that those additional connections. There's also the Lincoln News project, that's the one that's right next to the cost center in that development. They have their conditional use for the site plan approval for 15 new zoning homes. And then, of course, we have our commercial projects that are also connecting to that system, and then that would be McDonald's, Taco Bell, and then Gordy's is on there with them, and they all have approval points.
So, ultimately, a year from now, Rodney's here, you can answer this question more specifically than I can. So our anticipated connection with ERU with capacity is going to significantly increase. It will increase the moment of question. So I guess my sense of it, if I can feel this, that you're welcome to, but the load we're talking about here on the screen is going to be well within the range of the system. So, can we just put the context, say 52 town halls, 180 well, 32 mobile benefits. I like to think of this, how many toilets do I have left? Now, I have four bathrooms in my single family bedrooms. I've got two men, but I've got two toilets in my business because I have two different connections. So I've got three connections, right? And two buildings. How many connections are you talking?
In public works, can you correct me if I'm not remembering the number, for single family residents and ERU for single family residents.
That is for single family. So, like your third is the multifamily, seven bedroom, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, townhouse, two bedroom, three bedroom. Is that when they all call it just single family residents?
You know, in a townhome, I've not dealt with the council yet, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not
sure what 32 multifamily means. We have 32 separate units.
32 units. Oh, yes. Yes. Good.
Eight apartments per, that's kind of what I was getting. Yeah. How many toilets we're talking about?
Okay, so 32 units with eight apartments. X number of apartments in each. Is that what you're saying?
No, I apologize. 32 minutes
total. Okay. Oh, thank you.
That's the connection. Roughly, I would say, roughly, how many square customers do we have?
So we are, I apologize, I don't have that. We've been tracking ERU through the year and through the, so basically we've got them all boiled down through divisions, you know, central, east, west, that we have to, and education, all that.
It's like 35.
Okay, so this represents like 6% in a year, 6 or 7% in a year growth. That's huge.
So the important part of what I think about it, it won't come all on one time. It's a lot after date. It's a progression as the house is construction. Some of that's winter, it's going to be a difficult day, it's slow down over time. It's absorption in the marketplace, so there'll be a market effect to that. So obviously, we want to do our best, and we'll do our best to have the capacity ready at the time it's necessary. But I think there's some level of risk tolerance that, personally, my job accepts, and I think based upon what I understand, we probably are going to be okay.
Absorption has been very instant around this town lately, like people moving in for the paint. I do have a question about the SEPA that was being discussed earlier as a reason for whether or not to do multiple phases. Is there some like very short pressing time deadline that goes with the SEPA that if you don't do the project within a certain number of months, you can lose your SEPA approval or something?
It's not the SEPA itself that would be subject to the timeline. If you would ever permit, it would be supported by the SEPA checklist. So a land disturbance permit has a lifeline of 1 year.
Once you get something SEPA approved, my point was, after having done that effort, you only have a year to get it done, because that's what I was wondering. It's why couldn't you do the whole thing under one big SEPA and then actually conduct it during two phases? The reason why is because you can't have something going longer than a year from the moment you get SEPA. Is that why?
Some clarification on the question. So not entirely sure I understood. So I think the answer to your question is no. I think the answer we were looking to get to as far as risk analysis was, could we meet the threshold state sets for issuing a phase? And it was determined through the standard recommendation that it was too high.
Well, see, that's what I was saying. But the phasing is, can you not get the SEPA approval for everything we're going to do? And then it's none of their business from then on, and then we can phase it out as we like. What prevents us doing that?
Thank you for the clarification. So, ideally, you want to minimize the amount of time that we're going to have the timeline on land disturbance permits, but certainly phased projects.
So part of the answer maybe is that we have a commitment to our development community to be ready for their connections. So we want to get this project done as soon as possible. We don't want to phase out over 4 or 5 years.
I understand what the developers want, and I understand how important, I understand what level of focus has been put on that by at least you and perhaps a council member or two. What we'll probably discuss a lot more later is that there's a lot of other factors. I'm hearing a lot from our public works people who are going to be on the ground dealing with a lot of this about some of the benefits of phasing. And I just want to make sure that we've fully discussed all those benefits so that we can weigh that out and make an excellent decision.
There's a feedback on what Richard's saying. That slide with all the new toads, I don't care. My kid was going to school last year and they were talking about some of the things about playing and how it's done. Right now, as of last year, we had open sewers right in front of the miners. That's what I'm concerned about. I mean, that's what I'm concerned about. I'd like to start ripping the ground open right now. Let's do phase. Like, I was pretty impressed with kind of phase it two and get that done. It wobbled down because I know what a bottleneck that is. Putting some, you know, back flows coming in there. And I'd like to have that taken care of before we are in that situation. And I know that once you get the lines installed, like, the trenches can be open as long as you have the 8-inch lines there. They're plastic. It could be flowing, you know, it could be on the surface. I've done it. It could be on the surface of the ground, on the road, and the sewers flowing. You wouldn't have backups. I just don't understand. There's a SEPA issue, but I'm not sure what it is.
I just want to make it clear that CBS has guidance that we are going to continue to show in front of the connection before that.
That's the answer. I mean, and this may be part of it in this case, but in terms of this, part of it is the actual review process itself. And to do the full scope of that process. I don't know if that partly answers the question, but that sets the timeline to the point where you're starting to put everything together. So they all these things go together. So doing the full review is going to take more additional time to push the project into that way. So that, I don't know if that partially answers the question.
So that all sounds like you're saying there's an advantage to even phasing the review because you can have a smaller review and get some work done.
No, correct me if I'm wrong.
Two projects get twice.
Yeah.
There's no shortcut.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's been this review just from like said that I think absolutely necessary. Are you wanting to monitor it? What the hell are we monitoring?
Some more cavemen could show up and put in more.
Okay. No, I mean there's things that have done. Gene, I realize the state has is looking over our shoulder on it. And there are processes that have to be up to the standard of the book management act and best practices, ecology, and all sorts of things, but I don't know if your office never sees.
What did the word is called redundant when we're replacing existing livelihood?
That's just one facet of it, man. I was just saying, as far as like how many weeks, how many tens of thousands of dollars that waste and cost and will cost. But the fact remains that there is a real issue there. It's a public side, it's a health issue, it's a safety issue. And we're going to be dumping money into, we're going to be dumping sewage into the harbor, going to happen. And that's going to cost us money, and it's going to cause damage. Et cetera, I guess it's a matter of that what perspective one looks at to not just enhance or something.
Well, I think you just have joined the team frustration, which we all are a part of. We've all been doing this, working it, trying to figure out how to proceed in a fashion that makes the best sense as the greatest protection of the city and the citizens. And that's why we're having this conversation today. We felt it was necessary to inform you about what we're doing, what we're thinking, and some of the concerns that we're trying to understand, that you're understanding about as well. The next slide, if you can do that.
Maybe it's something that's been there long, and I expect that maybe not to be there.
So, just to kind of finish up the presentation, then we can move into a closed session. We think this is a it's going to help with budget because we're going to do the full project in dry weather. One of the things that's happened with this project is some of these pipes and animals are very, very deep. And so we've got a lot of concerns about how to treat that in the wintertime with lots of rain and sloppy conditions. We've got to work in better bids, but longer window of more bidding. We'll get the best bid. We can have some confidence about using best practices that. Approach to this as opposed to an emergency. So, from my opinion, explain this to you before, but I always view the world of travel. So, good, cheap, and fast. Everything revolves around those three things. So, the center of the axis, or the center of that triangle, is the sweet spot. So, when you move to any corner, if you move to the fast corner, you're going to compromise quality of cost. If you go to the cost side, you're going to compromise the other two. You're constantly trying to keep that sweet spot up. So as I was always looking at this, this is the sweet spot we can get through this project. Each corner has its own set of problems and expenses, time, funding, or quality. And I think those people, and we're talking about it more, the people are going to be impacted by this project. There are many that we want to talk about. And then, of course, we've learned in recent weeks and months that the timing to get construction materials really is long now. So we want to have that time to order all the parts and pieces that are available to do the project all at once.
So you mean that we can have the materials anyway,
Well, we have, I think there's a lot of material and a lot of work on the site. So the contractor is going to be tied to that.
So we learned that somebody did the shooting for the time that we were all pursuing to be shooting for shooting that shit that didn't.
And it's not on you, it's not on you.
No, but it can't be ordered until the contract is left.
And we have 95% plants and no distracting.
Well, we don't want to go and store it in a compound and then have to pick it all up and load it up again to move it a couple blocks over when the actual work starts. And,
you
know, and that's,
you can order it and sit at a warehouse where it can produce for the
living. Oh, so we'd own it, but it would just still sit in the vendor's warehouse until we say until we receive it.
That's why Bernie's being pressing upon us that he has in some cases a 24-hour price on some of those things. He has to call in, and that's the price you get to pay. They cannot guarantee that price the next day. These are things that Brian said. Soon, soon, I'm saying.
I'm not quite clear on why competitive bids is considered a benefit. Well, that's not my point. My point is you're required to get, municipalities required to get competitive bids regardless, unless it's an emergency situation. Right.
And we're required to take the cheapest one, even
exactly.
If they have
so,
to put this
on.
So by splitting the project, the vault, of course, you have lots of things that you do. So one of the most important ones is mobilization. So multiple mobilizations and demobilizations. Equipment delivery, you know, costs a lot of money. So we start breaking into phases of doing pieces at a time, mobilizing, demobilizing, ordering supplies and materials, delivering supplies and materials. And sometimes handling the materials supplies twice and three times. All of that becomes risky for the developer, for the contract. And they'll build risk tolerance in the contract price. So it's more effective to have competitive bids that have a budget starting in a schedule that they know they can work with them, as opposed to breaking it into pieces, which become
that's
more volatile.
Right. That's right.
Right, so we want to go into executive session now. So we're just going to stay here. So, Sam? Yeah. We don't want to announce the purpose and the rest of the time.
Okay. So we're now moving into executive session, and we're going to consider RCW 42.30.110. The litigation or legal risks of a proposed action here.
The litigation or legal risks of a proposed action or current practice that the agency has identified when public discussion of litigation or legal risks is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency.
We're going to need at least 45.
Okay, so executive session for at least 45 minutes.
No action taken.
There's action. Okay. I think
there may very well be action.
There could be action. It's an option for action. Is everyone present here? Someone who should be part of the
action? We should get a lot of the
We came back from executive session and no action was taken, but we have one action item to be discussed. Approval of sewer infrastructure project timeline. Mr. Wilbert.
So I would request that the City Council approve a motion to authorize staff to vote in for the T Street wastewater treatment, the wastewater improvement project this winter with an August 2023 completion date.
Could I have are there any questions for Mr. Wilbert on that? Could I have someone make a motion? It's not motion. It's
action.
It's an action. Yeah. Could I have someone to make a motion to approve the infrastructure project timeline, please? Are there a seconder? Seconder. Okay. Is there any discussion on this? No discussion. So we have the vote. All those in favor of the approving the timeline, say aye. Are there any
reservation? Mm-hmm. Do be grudging.
Any opposed?
Okay.
One opposed, six approved. It is passed. Thank you.
All right.
Would have been a 3-4 at that stage.
So with that, with the business, I will adjourn. adjourn the meeting at 6:18.